Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters when we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. We were just talking about FC Christos, the discount liquor soccer team that made it all the way through the U.S. Open Cup to face D.C. United last night. It would be like if you played in a beer league softball team or baseball team and then moved through the rest of your amateur teams and then faced like a single A squad and then a double A squad and then, you know, the Houston Astros. I mean, pretty amazing. And that's why we turn our attention to baseball right now. As Brian Kenny from MLB Network joins us, he hosts, and you can watch Brian as MLB, you can watch Brian Kenny as MLB Now weekdays, 4 p.m., plus MLB Network's going to air the Cubs and Mets tonight at 7 p.m. They've split the first two games, and the Nats and Mets tonight or tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and he joins us now. Brian Kenny, what's going on, man?
It's an exciting baseball time, man. It's going great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for joining us, as always. You know, unfortunately, Yasiel Puig always puts himself seemingly in the crosshairs for the wrong reasons, but I don't know if this is that big a deal. He flips the double bird to fans after scoring the home run or hitting the home run last night. Do you think this is a big deal?
No. I mean, I'll be honest with you. That's like when I first heard it yesterday, I heard that, you know, he had done a Mr. Met to the fans. even our beloved mascots are involved in this now. And I thought, oh, you know, wow, that's bad. And then actually, I saw watching MLB Network, I saw, you know, they ran a highlight and they had it, you know, scrubbed out, of course. But I realized I didn't immediately know, oh, they're in Cleveland. I was like, oh, they're in Cleveland. Like, to me, do you want that? No. If you're in the league office, do you have to have a word with him? Yes. However, I think if you've ever been to a major league ballpark, and this goes back 120 years, it can be a very rough place on the opposing players. So him doing that, it's being caught on camera. In terms of the stadium, it's probably a very small event. You really have to be watching him at that very moment and be staring even at his midsection as he flashed it back. I mean, who knows what was being said to this guy when he was down in the on-deck circle. So I understand it can't be condoned. You can't do it. He's got to be professional. He's got to be better, all that. But, yes, it's not a big deal.
One of the most incredible stories of this season has been Aaron Judge. He looks like Paul Bunyan. He's 6'7". He's hitting mammoth home runs. He's leading the league with homers. He's got triple crown stats right now, and it's his first full season. What is the ceiling on Aaron Judge?
Well, I mean, if this is the ceiling, this is sensational, because he's, except for Mike Trout, who got off to his best start ever, this is the best hitter in baseball. So the fact that we have another guy operating at a Trout, Bryce Harper level is pretty astounding. And it all looks, I don't know, I don't want to say this is sustainable. Like these numbers, he's like a 450 on base, 700 slugging. Again, like just put that in context, that's like Stan Musial's best year. Like he can't, it's not like, oh, he can keep doing that. But all that, his skills back this up. He has the foundation to be one of these, you know, top hitters. His plate discipline is excellent. He does not chase pitches, and his numbers, I know Joel Sherman of the Post was saying this to us on MLB Now just 2 days ago, and I didn't even know these numbers. he's hitting like 298 on 0-2 counts. He's doing it with power, not just the good batting average. He's hitting for power with 0-2. He hits very well 1-2, so he strikes out a lot. But when he gets to something, he really crushes it. And with the StatCast numbers that we have now, we know he, and it ain't even close, hits the ball harder than anyone else and more consistently than anyone else. So this is the real deal. And to have a guy, again, you know, Trout, Harper, these are young superstars, to have another guy suddenly emerge out of the minor leagues as, you know, maybe not just as good, but right there at that level, because he can also field above average in right field. It's a gift from above.
It's amazing to watch. Brian Kenny joins us from MLB Network. The Cubs are in mid-June a 500 team. Now, offensively, they were great last night, but they've treaded water at 500 the entire season. Why are the Cubs just a 500 team?
Yeah, there's a lot of underperformance there. It just shows you. You know, it's almost like, even to relate it to, you know, like baseball in the sabermetric era, if you ran a computer sim of the same team again and again and again, you're going to get out of a great team, an excellent team, you're going to get 95 wins more often than not, but you're occasionally going to get 82 wins or 86 wins. And I think these guys are better than that, but it just shows you it's a team sport. You're relying on a lot of different guys. So even though, you know, a lot of these players are playing well, it's not enough. You know, Chris Bryant is doing great, but, you know, Ben Zobrist is not. Addison Russell is defending well, but he's not hitting well. Kyle Schwarber has been a real disappointment. You know, one guy shouldn't, you know, knock you back, but when you have four or five guys doing it, it will knock you back. And I'm not discounting, like, the loss of Dexter Fowler. I know, you know, and it's not like one guy, and people will point to David Ross and in the clubhouse and all that could be true, but it really was a tangible thing that the Cubs were a much better team, not just because Fowler was excellent, because he was last year especially, defending in center field, leading off, getting on base, but he made everybody else go to different spots and play better spots. He just made everything fit a lot better. I think all of these are components to it.
Interesting. Brian Kenny joins us from MLB Network. You know, when you look around this league, there's a couple of tremendous stories of teams we did not expect to be this good, being this good. Out of those squads, which one is the most pleasant surprise? Which one is the biggest surprise to you?
Your biggest surprise out of any team so far?
Well, yeah, the teams that are, you know, yeah, the teams that we didn't really expect much of that are leading divisions or really playing well.
I think that's the story of the year. Like, it's a lot of clubs. You know, the Rockies are 15 games over 500. The Brewers are in first place. Now they're just above 500, so that's not a stunner. Look, the Astros being as good as they are surprises me. The Twins being in the division lead surprises me. The Yankees being as good as they are surprises me. So I guess I should stop being surprised. But I really, you know, there are things that you can predict and things that you try to measure production, and you can see where, you know, again, the performance of 25 guys, it has an exponential dynamic. And with the Yankees, for example, I think that if I had to point to one, I would say the Rockies are probably number one, because I thought they were good. I didn't think they'd be this good, and they really do look like a playoff team. They look like the real thing. And then a close second would be the Yankees being, you know, having the best run differential in the game. And a lot of that does come from Judge and a lot of those pitchers who have never quite fired at the same time, firing at the same time. So Yankees and Rockies are just much better than I thought they'd be.
So in the American League East, we thought that perhaps the Red Sox were the powerhouse team and might rip their way to a World Series after adding Chris Sale in the offseason. But David Price has been one of the biggest stories, and his underperformance, he's now bickering with the media and people are wondering about where his head is at. He's got 5 years left after this season on this contract. Do you think this is always going to be a concern, a question, whether David Price can handle what is going on in Boston?
Yeah, I think it is a concern. Now, he's had his ups and downs already in his own career, like when he was traded and bounced around, and he's bounced back. But he'll be at his best when he feels loved and when he's not being distracted and all of that. And the problem with what he's doing now is he's causing the distraction. You know, he blew up at Evan Drellick in Boston, one of the local sports writers there. And I really looked for, okay, what has Drellick written about him? And there really wasn't anything. You know, if someone does a piece where it, you know, goes to the character of a guy, or this guy's not a winner, you know, does someone write something like that, one of these old school sports writery things? But no. So he's upset over a number of things, and just, I guess, the cacophony that exists in the media in Boston and just in general today. You know what it's like. You think, oh, this guy said something to me on Twitter. Oh, they're out to get me. That's one idiot. You know, it's like you can't. And if you're David Price, there's going to be thousands of idiots that you're hearing from on Twitter, that you hear on sports talk radio. But nobody's attacking him. In fact, you know, it's been kind of light considering a fairly disappointing season last year. You know, I think I heard more people praising the volume of innings that he pitched last year, kind of excusing that he wasn't great early on. So if he's feeling victimized, that's on him. And now you've made it a thing. You know, you made it a thing, then you went into Yankee Stadium and you got roughed up again. It's all very not impressive. He's making trouble for himself. And normally I would say he'll right the ship. He's a quality pitcher. But there's no guarantee of that. We've seen, you know, disappointing seasons and careers turn south in Boston.
Yeah, and having worked up there, I know you can't pick the fight with the fans or the media because you'll always lose. They'll always be there, and I feel like that's happening. And once that happens, you can't dig yourself out of that hole. Brian Kenny joining us here on the show from MLB Network. You're a huge stats guy, an advanced stats guy, and we've had you on the show to talk about that before. Advanced stats are sometimes hard to digest for the normal fan. But if you were to tell them one advanced stat or metric that really, to you, tells great stories, you can really utilize out of all of them, which is one that you would say, focus on this one, it'll tell you a lot about what you're watching?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say if you're the type of person that likes to look up, like, hey, what is everybody doing in the league? Like, in the old days, you'd go to, you know, you'd open up the newspaper, and they would have everybody listed by the batting average, you know, the highest. Pete Rose would be on top hitting 338 or Rod Carew hitting 350. You can do that on sortable stats now. And if you wanted to look at one thing, look at either weighted runs created plus or OPS plus. And those, they're similar. They get there in different ways. But if I was to explain one of them, it'd be weighted runs created plus. And all that is measuring the run values of all your offensive results. Like, there's a run value for a single. There's a run value for a double and for grounding into a double play and a home run. 100 is league average. You can quickly see if Joey Votto is at 157 or Mike Trout at 200 or if Starlin Castro is at 110. You know, and that's above league average. That's quite good. And that will give you the list and give you the hierarchy of where everybody is hitting and that Aaron Judge is, you know, second in the league to Mike Trout. Because it includes power, it includes walks, it includes grounding into double plays. It's just a better batting average. It gives you power, it gives you walks, and makes it, you know, batting average plus those things that make a big difference offensively.
Interesting. Okay, so check that out if you're a baseball fan trying to kind of wrap your mind around some of these advanced stats that we have out there. MLB Network has MLB Now with Brian Kenny every weekday at 4 p.m., plus, MLB Network has Cubs and Mets tonight at 7, and then Nationals and Mets tomorrow night at 7 as well. And Hudson Valley Renegades baseball is back, baby, so I know Brian Kenny is fired up about that.
Wow. How are you doing? I was like, wow, the Renegades are getting a spot on your national air? This is awesome. I didn't know that was national news. Yeah, no, I minor league called New York 10 League Baseball starting up. I did call their games, and I saw that on Twitter that the season was starting, and I thought, I got to get up to Fishkill, go to a game.
Oh, it's a beautiful backdrop. We all know that. Also, Brian is the author of Ahead of the Curve, a tremendous book about how we use metrics today to weigh players of today and the past. Brian, it's always great to catch up, buddy. Thanks so much.
All right. Good talking to you. Thank you.
Brian Kenny joining us here on the show. Talking a little baseball at this point, this juncture in the season. When we come back, we've got your cut line, the stories of the morning that didn't make the cut, which we will do earlier than normal because we've got Jared Allen in the final segment. And so coming up next, you're going to love this. Foot Locker has a brand new commercial out for the NBA draft. And it has to do with Father's Day, and Lonzo Ball is featured. What does he have to say about Father's Day? It's great. We'll play the commercial next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Who's Magic Mike? Who's that guy?
That's not Shaquille O'Neal. What's his name?
Shaquille O'Neal.
What? Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum.
No, it's definitely not Shaquille O'Neal. That's the one thing I can say for certain.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. DA with you. And why don't you make sure you go to our Facebook page right now and spend hours upon hours upon hours watching footage of a flag football game that I took time out of my schedule to go and call for free at a high school field on Sunday morning. It now has thousands upon thousands of views. It has hundreds of thousands of audience reach. The bosses probably thought nobody cared, nobody would want to watch this or hear it. But in fact, you loved it. You ate up every single morsel of it. So why not keep doing it to prove how important flag football is here on this show? I don't know. I think we're now up to like 25,000 total views. Like a million people. Who knows? Maybe tomorrow is just going to be Mr. Six Free Agency episode. Where will he go? Brian Windhorst is on the line. Tomorrow I've got Joe Theismann on the show. Can I have him break down Mr. Six footage? All right, so we'll do like a Jay Gruden camp with Joe Theismann on Mr. Six. What are you seeing here? Can you sit down with Six and let us know what you're seeing here? That's facebook.com/TheDAShow. Again, facebook.com/TheDAShow.
Electronically ignorant.
I think you'll enjoy it. My play-by-play chops, a little rusty from college, just a little rusty, but not quite as rusty as you might think. I'm kind of like a Pat Summerall type. I went from playing in the Flag Football League to then calling games, and I thought I held my own. That's facebook.com/TheDAShow.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
It is time for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. And stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you're going to find gift cards and hundreds of great Father's Day gifts, from tools to flashlights. O'Reilly Auto Parts is exactly what Dad wants, at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Our question comes to us from Anthony on Twitter, who tweets, DA, can the Warriors and Cavs rivalry ever surpass Lakers and Celtics? Hashtag AskThePros. The answer is no, because the Lakers and Celtics had a culture clash. Not necessarily a race war the way that the 30 for 30 tried to document last night, but more of a culture clash. That here was one very identifiable style and city and kind of sentimentality or kind of ideal around it, and then another one that was completely distant and completely different. The Lakers, with gregarious Magic Johnson, represent Los Angeles and glitz and fast and glamour and celebrity. And then the flip side is Boston, and Larry Bird and McCallum Parrish represent blue collar or doing all the work or extra preparation or playing the game the old school way, the right way. It's more conventional. It's more conservative. Okay? And so you have these two styles clashing. We don't really say that about the Warriors and the Cavaliers. We really don't. We don't really say that about them. So I don't think it'll ever take on that. Even if we get Warriors and Cavs every single year, you'll get kids 20 years from now that say, remember Warriors, Cavs? That was amazing. But you won't identify the Cavaliers with something versus the Warriors with something. Yeah, the Warriors play a more open spacing, three-point shooting style, but the Cavaliers kind of copied that this year. All right, let's get to your cut line, boys and girls.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the Cut Line.
So there's this awesome commercial by have all of the upcoming NBA high-end draft picks talking about Father's Day and all of their sentiments and all of their memories with dad. And so you've got a bunch of these guys that are going to get drafted saying, dads are special. I can remember games of one-on-one in the driveway or him coming to my Little League games and all of this type of stuff. And then Lonzo Ball hops in and he says, you know, I just remember memories of, you know, when your dad berates your high school coach for not getting you enough touches. And then they go on to another one of these draft picks who's like, yeah, I remember my dad doing this for me. And then they go back to Lonzo Ball and he goes, you know, Father's Day means like when your dad sits you down to tell you where you're going to go to college, that he's going to copyright your name to make it a part of a family lifestyle brand. He goes, it reminds me of the public spats with all-time greats, or when your dad goes on First Take to yell at Stephen A. Smith. You know, it reminds me of when my dad tells 29 of 30 teams not to bother drafting me. And then it cuts with one final guy that's going to get drafted saying, and fishing. Father's Day reminds me of fishing with my dad. It's a great spot. I highly encourage you check it out on social media. It is very, very funny. And it's kind of cool to see Lonzo being able to make fun of his dad and all of these things. I think it shows not only an awareness of how ridiculous this stuff is, but also that Lonzo is not this kind of pathetic, kind of humiliated kid that's watching his dad get embarrassed and not be able to kind of comment on any of it, that he's also in on how ridiculous this all is. So I think the spot is brilliant. I think it's awesome and it's very funny. You can go check that out on social media.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
I may even post it on our Facebook page right near all of the videos of the flag football game I called on Sunday. How much of that Michigan trip cost for Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines to go to Rome? How about $800,000? Apparently, all the money has been donated by an anonymous donor, that according to the Detroit Free Press. But here's why college football is ridiculous and college athletics is that it's not an even playing field. It's not at all, because Southern Miss doesn't have $800,000 to fly to Rome to do photo ops. Yeah, we're going to have an OTA out here. Yeah, we're going to have a little bit of training out here. Yeah, we're going to play some football. All that was a marketing opportunity for Michigan and a recruiting opportunity where Jim Harbaugh gets to be in the public limelight again. He gets to make jokes. He gets to throw a football around. He gets to be told by security guard, don't throw the football around. And a kid goes, well, there's Michigan in the news again. There's Harbaugh in the news again. They get to go to Italy. How cool would that be? They look like they're having fun. I want to go there. I mean, it's all part of that. And that's why this stuff is ridiculous, because yet Michigan, somebody's going to plunk down $800,000 for your football team to go to Rome to kind of clown around and your coach to go to clown around. But San Diego State, they don't exactly have that budget to do that. So there's a real problem with a competitive balance when one team has that much money to drop on something so silly and then one team doesn't have anything close to that.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And that is your cut line this morning. And even forget about San Diego State or Southern Miss. Even in his conference, does Rutgers have the budget to drop $800,000 to go to Rome? No, absolutely not. Does Northwestern? Absolutely not. And Northwestern's good. When we come back here on the show, Jared Allen, Sackmaster extraordinaire who retired a little over a year ago, is going to join us coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What's happening?
What's happening?
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Hey, DA. It was hot TV, my friend. It was hot. It was good.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The hottest TV every single day right here on the show. You can watch the show at watchda.com. It's also mobile friendly, so if you're in front of your computer, you could watch it. At your laptop, you could watch it, but also on your phone or your tablet. Just hit up watchda.com and you can watch the show live every single day and then the replay of the show all day long as well. Scheduled to have on Jared Allen, longtime sack artist in the NFL, former Chief, Viking, Bear, and then you might remember Panther in that final season before he retired when they went to the Super Bowl and then lost to the Denver Broncos. So scheduled to join us coming up here shortly. We open up the show today talking about the Cavaliers and their options this offseason, and SI.com's Ben Golliver had an interesting piece today suggesting that Paul George for Kevin Love is a win-win for both clubs. Now, I don't necessarily see it that way from a Pacer standpoint. If you feel like Paul George is not going to stick around and you want to get something for him before he leaves next summer, I totally understand that because I don't think he's going to stick around either. But I think you could do better than Kevin Love. The Cavaliers would love to make that deal because, pardon the pun, Paul George is a much better defensive player. Paul George actually can take over some lockdown defensive responsibilities, and he's obviously a tremendous scorer as well, and he's young, and while maybe he doesn't do the rebounding work that Love does, you can get cheap rebounding work. Tristan Thompson's expensive rebounding work, too expensive, frankly, but you can get cheap rebounding work done. What you can't do is get cheap scoring and cheap lockdown defense. That's what Paul George brings to the table. So would it improve the Cavaliers? It would. It wouldn't give them a fourth superstar the same way that, or a fourth star the same way the Warriors have, but it would make them better, would improve them. I just don't think the Pacers do that because the Pacers want more in return. Now, if the Cavaliers gave up other pieces as well, but what do the Pacers want that the Cavaliers have? If you make Kevin Love the central piece of what you give up to make, you know, the salaries work and everything like that, are you going to give them draft picks 6 years from now? You don't really have picks to give up right now, and you don't have any young players to give up right now. And those are the types of assets I think other teams would be willing to give up to get Paul George. It's a fascinating crossroads in the NFL and the NBA, rather, because this offseason, will we see teams trying to match blow for blow, getting as good as the Warriors? Or will we see teams who are not all that keen on trying to be aggressive right now because they feel that even if they get better, they're still just chum in the water for the Warriors? I don't know. I mean, on the one hand, you go, well, teams are always going to want to try to get better because it means more attendance, higher revenue, longer playoff series, more attention. You know, and owners want success, and GMs want success. And those are the guys that pull the triggers on improving. But if you're telling teams, yeah, you're improving, but you're only improving to a certain point, and then at that certain point, you're going to get thrashed by the Warriors or the Cavs, I don't know if you sacrifice the future for the present. So in other words, who is going to trade for Paul George and give up draft picks or young players to try to win right now? Because you might be going, well, we'd rather have young players and draft picks so that we're good after or at the end of this Warriors run. And let's say, and who knows when the end is, but that you'd rather have your chances 3 years from now or 4 years from now than next year. You know, I look at a guy like Anthony Davis. AD is one of the best players in the league. But AD is not even on a team that can make the playoffs right now. The Pelicans have to try to get good. That's why they brought in Boogie Cousins. That's why they're going to try to throw that into the blender again this year and see what comes out. But if the Pelicans can't even make the playoffs, is Anthony Davis going to stick around? But the Pelicans have to try to make the playoffs just to be chum in the water. But does Anthony Davis then, when he's ready to go in a couple of years, say, I want to go to a team that's going to be a 4 seed that I can make a 3 seed? Or is it going to be a 6 seed that I can make a 4? Or is he going to go, there's like 3 teams I can go to because I'm looking to win a championship, and unless I'm on the Warriors or against the 1 or 2 teams that can knock them off with me, I've got no chance. I feel for that type of guy who has been a great ambassador for the game, who's a total, seemingly gentleman, who is a competitor, who is tremendous at what he does, who's a total super-duper star, and he is now in his prime, and he can't even get to the playoffs. And even if they get to the playoffs, there's no chance he can win a world championship. None whatsoever. I mean, same thing with Paul George in Indiana. Now, George at least was on a team that was in the Eastern Conference Finals a couple of years ago. But, man, those guys, like the Timberwolves, good situation because they're not good enough right now, and you would think their peak is 3 or 4 years from now. The Bucks, probably a good situation because Giannis is so good. So good. But the Clippers? You want to be the Clippers? They could bring everybody back. And Ed Carmelo. Is that enough? Do you want to be the Thunder right now? Russell Westbrook? And Victor Oladipo and Steven Adams? And maybe you add a piece and you could become a 4 seed? But that's assuming that Russell Westbrook stays healthy and then has another unbelievable season. I think the idea is the Wizards have a bright future, but are the Wizards anywhere close enough to be able to knock off the Cavs and then when they get to an NBA Finals, compete? I mean, I don't know. Maybe for them just getting to an NBA Finals is enough. I mean, this is honestly why, and I don't know if Pat Riley looked at the Golden State Warriors per se, but this is why Riley didn't want Dwayne Wade back, and this is why Pat Riley doesn't want Chris Bosh back, is because those guys, the way it was assembled, you could be a 5 seed, a 6 seed, but what does that matter? Our next guest is a 5-time Pro Bowler, a 4-time first-team All-Pro in the NFL, and just wrapped up a very decorated career, and now he is working with Courtyard, the official hotel of the NFL for Father's Day, a guy that I never thought when I watched him get drafted and go through the wild days of his youth in Kansas City would be talking about Father's Day, but this is where we are. We all get old, including myself. Jared Allen joining us here on the show. What's up, Jared?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How you doing?
Doing well.
I got to tell you, the video that you guys put out for Courtyard and Father's Day is really cool because you bring a Vikings fan, and you, of course, play for the Vikings for a long time, on a surprise Dad's Day to a stadium tour. He meets you and then has his own Hall of Fame set up for Father's Day from his wife and kids. I said, that is really, really cool. That must have been, for you being part of it, a really cool experience.
It really was. It was not... When Courtyard told me that, what they wanted to do, I thought it was awesome. Plus, it killed two birds with one stone. I got to go back and do part of the video, and I hadn't seen the new stadium yet, so it was a surprise for me as well. It worked out great. It really was cool to go and to see just how genuinely excited he was from the time he walked in until when we came up and met him and gave him the tour and stuff like that. You know, he was such a big fan. He was just really excited that his daughters got him this exclusive VIP tour of the facility and the stadium. That they even had like a little teaser film playing at one point, and they had pictures of his family, and he completely missed it. He was so enamored with everything that was going on within the Vikings stadium and being a Vikings fan and hanging out and talking that he missed all the some of the setup photos, and then to come around the corner and surprise him with his old Hall of Fame, which I thought was super cool. I mean, again, I'm a dad of two girls myself, a little younger than apprentices, but just to see a man that cares so much about his family and has such a good relationship with his daughters and obviously that's reciprocated for his entire family showing up. I mean, his dad, his wife, his daughters, everybody to come, friends to come set this up and take stuff from around the house and give him his own display. It was really cool. You know, part of the video you don't see is when everybody's laughing and joking and him realizing, like, how did you get this out of the garage, or how did you do this? So it was a cool and very sentimental day.
I loved it. It's very cool. Jared Allen joining us here on the show. It is also cool for you to talk about having two daughters because, as I mentioned, I was in KC when you were drafted by the Chiefs, and I kind of feel like you were Gronk before Gronk. I mean, you had the sack dance. And you had...
I was doing Gronk back when Gronk wasn't cool.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. And I remember you being a 20-something and being a rock star in Kansas City, and I can only imagine now how different your life is. Back then, did you feel like, man, I'm living a rock star lifestyle, or was it just because you're in your young 20s.
Yeah, you live in the moment, you know what I mean? I get not how everything we do is right, but we were all trying to have as much fun as we possibly could. But, you know, I think at some point I always knew that I wanted to grow up and have kids eventually, and obviously I have brothers with, you know, nieces and nephews and stuff like that, friends with married with kids. But, yeah, at that time, I mean, it wasn't in the foreseeable future, even when you know, I kind of, when I first got to Minnesota, I just kind of read off that, yeah, I'm probably never going to get married. It's probably not the, not right for me. And then I met my beautiful wife, and I tell you what, the good Lord has a way of lining things up, and we got two beautiful kids. And now I tell you, being a dad is the greatest thing ever, you know. Actually, I used to get mad when people would have my daughters out, and it's funny how life changes. But I tell you what, you know what, I think all life experiences build you to, you know, like I even said in Kansas City, I think as a man, as a human being, you're always growing, right? It's not, you're stagnant, you're probably going reverse. So, you know, with all different chapters of life, I think, lead you to be, my experiences growing up and living the little rock star life in Kansas City gave me a real appreciation of being and having a family and what that means, and the responsibility of being a dad. I think that was what was so cool about getting to do this with Courtyard, is that, you know, it's unfortunate. There's a lot of statistics out there just about, you know, kids without dads, you know, and what that means for their life, and probably the important role of parents, but not only parents, but dads in specific. And so for Courtyard to recognize that and honor that, and for me to be a part of that was really cool, because it is really one of my most pride jobs, if you will, or the things I get to do, is wake up every morning and be a dad to my two beautiful daughters. Even when they're being a pain, they're still better than not having them.
Yeah. Jared Allen joining us here on the show. I can remember when you were drafted and that team needed a pass rusher so much. And obviously, as you think about it, Kansas City was normally a conservative organization in a conservative part of the country. And here you were as a rookie and you chose number 69 as your jersey. And I was like, wow, did he get pushback? Did you get pushback from the Chiefs of choosing 69 as your jersey?
They gave me that number.
You didn't ask for it?
I did. I was so mad when that's what everybody thinks. I think my personality is pretty much so. The story behind my number was they gave me this number, right? And there was, if you remember correctly, there was another kid. Miller, I think his last name was Miller. He was an offensive lineman, right?
Okay.
And he had 69 as well. And I was just like, this is a fat offensive lineman's number. You know what I mean? I came from college. I was rocking number 4. Well, high school, I was number 1 the whole time. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, yeah, I just had that bravado. Like, this was just like gross. Like, oh, so mad. Right? And then I was all offended that somebody else had a number on the team. Like, okay, now I got to, you know, make sure I beat this guy out. There can only be one number to make the team. So, anyways, going through preseason, obviously made a team and playing a lot, and I was getting ready to change Mike Davis, and I asked him, hey, you want to change your number? And Bob Carmelo, it's God rest his soul, but he was my D-line coach, and he ended up being one of my dear friends. He was like, grabbing me aside, and said, hey, he's a grizzled old voice, you know. He said, that's an old school number, and you're an old school player. Numbers don't make the players cool. Players make the numbers cool. You keep that number. I said, you know what? Done. I'm going to keep him a rocket.
Wow.
You make that number cool again. And that's what we did. And, yeah, I think it obviously, as people, you know, as we were hanging out and doing our thing in Kansas City, people thought I chose it. But, no, they gave it to me. They
that's
actually they forced me to keep it.
That is so cool. Well, you can watch Jared Allen help a Minnesota Vikings fan and dad achieve the ultimate prize by going to YouTube and checking it out. Courtyard by Marriott. It is a very, very cool video. I love it. Father's Day is coming up, man. I can't wait to hang out with my dad as well. Follow Jared on Twitter at JaredAllen69. It's great to catch up, buddy. Thanks so much, my man.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Jared Allen joining us here on the show. It is hard to put into perspective what type of wild man he was in KC at that time, because he walks into a town that was starved for a winner. You know, they had gone through the 90s and they had come close, but no cigar, and were looking for defense to be something, anything to go along with the high powered offense of Trent Green and Priest Holmes and Tony Gonzalez. And he got drafted in 2004, where in 2003, they had gone 13-3 and then not forced a punt in the playoff game against Peyton Manning. And nobody really expected him to be
a huge piece of the puzzle. He was a fourth rounder out of Idaho State. And he comes in and he is just a wild man tearing up the town. And he's got number 69 on, his sack dance, his calf roping. And as you might imagine, in Kansas City, to me, is one of the best sports towns we have in America. One of the best fan bases we have are Chiefs fans. You got guys in old, faded Otis Taylor jerseys and old, faded Derek Thomas jerseys and rocking Zubaz and going crazy because here's this guy with a mullet wearing number 69 calf roping after 12 sacks or 15 sacks or whatever. And it was wild. And I mean, Jared, he was a character, man. To cover that guy, he was a character. So it's funny to have him talking about being a dad. And people say, no, you're babysitting. I'm not babysitting. These are my kids. Oh, okay. That was cool. That was very cool. I always thought he asked for number 69. All right, that'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Chris Thomas Arndt is your digital broadcast producer. And as always, Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We're back at it tomorrow. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA in the mothership. Disconnect.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.